Good morning, Metroplex. It's a Thursday edition, Thursday. As the announcer guy said. That's RJ Choppy. Bobby Belt is fist pumping live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube. We got Pepe in the back. We are live on the Fan Cam, on Twitch, and on YouTube. Thanks for being the total. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On, DFW Sports Station. The house of cards continues to fold. Get ready to fold for the Dallas Cowboys. As yesterday, we had some wide receiver developments. We'll start off with Brandon Cooks. He is expected to be out for at least this Pittsburgh Steelers game after an infection developed in his right knee following a procedure he had after the Giants game.
Only in Cowboy land do you, in 2024, could a player miss a game from an infection after surgery, which according to Google, happens in about 1% to 3% of patients.
Infection after surgery?
Infection after a procedure. About 1% to 3% of patients. So the Cowboys are so out of date. We know they're out, they're behind. They're so out of date, they're still getting afflictions that impacted people in the Middle Ages.
I mean, look, it definitely still happens. Alex Smith, it happened to Alex Smith.
He
after
almost
his
lost a leg.
Because of an infection. That's why.
That's fair.
But no, this is... I mean, this is... It actually makes me feel a little better, as bad as it sounds, because Monday we came in here, and when we did post-hut clarity, I had mentioned Brandon Cooks looked really bad against the Giants, and I had said, I was like, I don't know if he's banged up, or like, this is just a climb, but this is bad, and it was more just like a throwaway, like, let's give him some cover, because this looks clearly like decline, but this at least gives me some hope that, all right, he's dealing with something, he's dealing with an injury now. These infections, post-surgery or post-procedure, can get pretty serious, so hopefully it's not, you know, really bad, but this is still something that at least makes me feel like, okay, maybe Brandon Cooks is still Brandon Cooks and he's just dealing with something.
Explain what happened with Jerry in that confusion on Tuesday that a couple people and maybe reporters picked up on.
So we were, because we had talked about the Brandon Cooks decline, one of the questions we had ready was to ask Jerry about Brandon Cooks, and specifically about the wide receiver depth behind CeeDee Lamb, because people keep saying, you know, do you have the weapons behind CeeDee Lamb? Well, my question was following RJ asking a couple questions about Dalvin Cook. So when it got over to there and I had asked him about Brandon Cooks and said, hey, do you have the depth behind it? Jerry's answer was, well, we've got depth and I'm excited to see them have this opportunity if he's not out there Sunday. And I went, did he still think we're talking about Cook? Because Cooks and Cook, yeah, that's not that absurd to maybe mix that up. And I texted somebody on the beat and I'd said, I think he thought I was talking about Dalvin Cook. And I got a text back after, like, we were done. And it was like, I'd seen it after done. He said, I don't know that he was. He's like, you need to ask him to clarify that. And then I didn't see it till after we're done. And I was convinced it was just that, but then sure enough, he tipped his hand. He gave us the answer about Brandon Cooks without us even knowing he was hurt or had any issue.
So I'm adding to the Dallas Cowboys house of cards, my theme to the season, Mike McCarthy's contract, the other contracts, CeeDee not at camp. Deron Bland, Sam Williams, Micah and Tank injuries, and now Brandon Cook. So we're up to about eight things. We're up to about eight cards stacked up for the Dallas Cowboys through the first 4 weeks.
And, you know, of those eight cards, so obviously the ones that have gone wrong are the injuries. You know, the contracts, they got settled. At least two of them got settled before the season. So do you take those cards off? Or did they muddy up the offseason to the point where it was already damaged?
Like, did it cost Lamb any delay with rust and frustration within the offense?
Yeah, did it set a poor tone even? Yeah. Was it something where it was like, you know, even though Dak didn't miss any time, did Dak's contract issue, did people feel frustrated by how those negotiations went? Did it cause, you know, chemistry issues that are still there?
So we've stacked about eight cards. When do you think that starts becoming a little tenuous with the balance of when you're stacking those up? You're building some Legos with your kids.
Oh, I think it gets tenuous after about four. Yeah, eight. I think you're screwed.
Yeah, probably about 2 weeks ago, when 3 weeks ago when New Orleans came in here and did what they did. It was like, maybe these cards, maybe you got too many, which is at that point like three,
little
four.
Little Jerry Jenga that we're playing already. But there was a wide receiver name that a lot of Tolos seem to be excited about yesterday in Ryan Flournoy.
Yeah, and Ryan Flournoy is a guy that they're excited about. The Cowboys are. He looked good right at the start of camp, and then he got hurt, I think, second day of practice. Like, the second day we were out there, he had it was either a calf or a hamstring, but he had a soft tissue injury, and that put him behind so much that people were like, he's lost too much time. He's probably going to lose this spot with, Tyron Billy Johnson and Racy McMath. These guys are playing really well out here at training camp. But he ended up coming back and playing really well and pushing really hard at the end where he was able to make it. And so he'll have opportunity. I would imagine he's in the rotation and actually active and getting used. I don't know how many snaps, but he'll get work this Sunday against Pittsburgh.
Is only 1 week for Cooks being too optimistic?
Man, yeah, because an infection, you never know how those things are going to play out. And an infection in the knee sounds brutal.
Because I saw someone give a quote like, yeah, he'll be good in a couple weeks. And I was
I saw that.
Okay, a couple weeks or 1 week?
Well, and if this is something that happened Thursday night, you do kind of get the benefit of
3 days.
This is already the Sunday game will be 10 days roughly since it happened. And so you're looking at 2.5 weeks by the time Detroit rolls around. But yeah, I mean, if you could be through Pittsburgh and Detroit and into the bye week, and it's not until San Francisco before you see Bland, Parsons, and Cooks back on the field.
But, so wait a second. The procedure was after the game, or the infection happened after the game?
That's not totally clear. I believe it was from what's said, which, again, we're talking about procedures that people had done. You are getting into HIPAA stuff, and so the reporting can kind of be murky at times, but it sounds like it was something that he had the procedure after the game.
Meanwhile, two different reporters have come out and said the Cowboys are not going to be in the mix for Davante Adams. We start with our very own Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Don't expect the Cowboys to be there for Davante. Told there has not been interest due to comfortability with the current receiving core. Paired with the potential asking price for Adams, Cowboys value draft capital too much to be a player here. And then Jordan Schultz, more national, said Cowboys are not interested in Davante. The Chiefs are obviously going to be in the receiver market, but a divisional trade is highly unlikely. The Jets are seen by many executives as a top landing spot. We had Diana Russini saying the Steelers are interested. We'll talk to Andrew Filippone at 8 o'clock from Pittsburgh about their interest in Davante. He thought they were getting Brandon Ayuk. And then Ian Rappaport this morning says Devontae's clear number one is the Jets, but he is still open to other possibilities. But two different people saying Cowboys out.
I will be all in.
I think that, obviously the Chiefs make sense, but I don't see that Mark Davis traded him within the division to let them make history and win three straight. Whether they should or not, because they give him the best deal, I don't know that they'll ever go down that road. But I mean, I'm fine with the Cowboys not go after. If they got him, it'd be great. If they got him, fine. I don't think the comfortability with the wide receiving core, that is laughable. That is laughable.
What if they said that before they knew about Cooks? What if they said that, they were comfortable before the Cooks injury?
Maybe. But it's still laughable. If you don't want to trade the asking price and then the money, I don't blame them.
All right, so I wrote this down as a couple multiple options. What would you rather the Cowboys say? What is the best justification they would give you for being out on Davante Adams that would make you feel good? One is, we're comfortable with the guys that we have. That infuriates me, just like it did Choppy, because your passing game is not good enough. Number two, we don't have the money for it, which would be a little bit more honest, and you'd have to look ahead. Nick Eatman, I thought, did a good job yesterday saying this $25 million that they have right now is not really $25 million. That's being passed along for next year. Or we really have to rely on draft picks because of the big contracts that we paid. Which one of the three, if any, because you may just say, I don't give a crap. Other teams figure out a way to make it work and add people. The Cowboys are always just handcuffed 24/7. Which one of the three would you feel best with, given the truth and the best public spin?
Finances. Yeah. If you were to say, we don't have the money right now because of how we're trying to stack our books, and we don't want to be irresponsible and flip more switches to create space that, like, hey, let's just pay these bills now and not shift any more debt into the future. I'd like that. I'd also like if they recognized it as, look, we're not good enough for that move to really be worth giving up the capital.
That they would never say.
They wouldn't, but I would. I'd like that. Or if they just said, we're going to go get Amari Cooper, and that's a cheaper option where we think we're going to get more bang for our buck. I'd like that too.
I think the finance one, you can say that finance wise, they know more than we do. I know the numbers are public.
Yep.
You know, I know that you can find out all the numbers, but they still know more about the inner workings of what they have and what they want to do.
Of course.
And what their plans are. So they could always have...
Nobody knows the cap like Jerry. Just ask.
They can always have that plausible excuse there. Saying that the wide receiving core is fine.
No.
I mean, I don't know. I think even if it is fine, like these teams should always be looking to improve anyway.
Well, it's not fine.
If you have a chance. Well, yeah, it's not.
We can't even start there as a jumping
point. Like, I mean, every team out there is looking to get better at every position. I mean, isn't that the hell Jason used to tell us all the time? We got to compete. You know, we want to have competition in all these positions.
Let me ask another silly, this may be a male pride question, but I wonder if it plays into an Amari possibility. If the price to get Amari Cooper was a third,
mm-hmm.
would the Dallas Cowboys not do it because it would shine more light on the initial trade in which they got back a fifth or a sixth?
Oh, I think
would the guy pride just say, nope, I know I just sold that, but my part broke in the house and I need to buy one back that's more expensive. I'd rather just go without.
I mean, that might play into it. I think that they wouldn't go for Amari because they can't bring him back. They told us he doesn't like football.
And yeah.
Now all of a sudden, what? He grew to love the game?
Look,
he went to Cleveland and said, man, I really love this game.
Or we're desperate enough to get someone right? Who just kind of likes it.
I mean, in 2018, it got bad enough with the receiver core before they went and got Amari Cooper, where they signed Bryce Butler back here after Bryce Butler. And Bryce Butler is not Amari Cooper. Bryce Butler stood up there and said, like on first take, like, yeah, our schemes, they are awful.
Yep.
They don't know what they're doing over there. And then 9 months later, he was back in the building for 2 weeks.
But does that make them look less worse? Because you can say whatever you want and they'll bring you back. Maybe not Randy Gregory. I don't know. Does that make them look less worse than the trade value backlash that would come? Everyone would be laughing at them. You should do what's best for business. You should do what's best for the football team. And that would be Amari Cooper for a third round pick or a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
That's not stopping me, but you're going to get laughed at.
I do think that the Cowboys generally and Jerry have an approach where they don't care too much about what do people think of them. They are just about like, we're doing what we're doing. And that's why they dig in on all it.
The problem with Amari is there's no way they're going to give him his long-term deal given what they leaked out and what we know they feel about him.
Yeah, there might be too much history there for both people. Like for the Cowboys on this side, there might be too much history for Amari as well. But, I mean, they've got... You got to remember, they lost so much depth this offseason that they're in line for a lot of comp picks. The most recent projection said they were likely to get a sixth and 3 fifth rounders next year.
Ooh.
Because of what they lost in free agency. Woo-hoo-hoo. So they've got a little bit.
And
scratch me right itch, baby.
I'm saying they've got the capital to where they could probably more easily say, I can give up a fourth because I know I'm going to have 4 fifth rounders okay. And a sixth. And I'm going to have the. And so they might feel like, we can swallow this by giving up this capital because of what we've got.
You know how many running backs are going to be able to select in the draft now with all those fifth rounders?
And then just to add a little bit more sting and, excuse me, salt in the wound, Derrick Henry, AFC Offensive Player of the Week. So there's one. There's one with Derrick Henry. I'd also like to go and look at the Player of the Week awards with the numbers that they put up and compare it to like the last few years to see how low the numbers were. Like I went to look at Henry's numbers and I was like, all right, that was a good game. But that was the best in the AFC. Just a sign of the times with offense in the National Football League. 877-881-1053. Off to a fast start for the Thursday edition of Sean and RJ. We have a State Fair ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway. It's Thursday, so 640 is the payload with Peyton Russell. All local stories in the Neighborhood Watch at 740. Steelers Insider at 8 and Babe Laufenberg at 840. But hey, Armpit, come here.
Hey.
We got a seat for you. Right here on the couch. The Astros are eliminated, or as Choppy says, the New England Patriots put out, and is Luka already hurt for the Mavericks? Next on The Fan.
Lying down the left field line, it is a fair ball. One run scores. Two runs score. Everybody scores. It's a bases clearing. Big pinch hit for Albañez, and it is now 5-2 Detroit.
Oh, did that get served up for Bobby Belt? Sandler texted us, did you hear the Michael K call? This game was in Houston. Did you hear that crowd?
Both games. Both games had a ton of Tiger fans. Ton of green seats in game one, whatever. But ton of Tiger fans. At this game, at both games.
Michael came with the call on ABC.
I don't know if it was just an earlier game.
As the Tigers take out the Armpit 5-2. Are the Tigers right now America's team for the playoffs? We've had it years past with like the Royals, with the Pirates. Rangers did not qualify last year nationally. Right now the Tigers, maybe it's because of Jake and our other studio over there. The Tigers are my rooting interest.
I mean, it might be the Royals this year, too. Detroit, though, this is the amazing thing about the Tigers. They were 55-63, and they went 31-11 over the next 42 games.
I think that was pretty close to the exact number we were trying to convince ourselves. Could the Rangers do this over 40 games?
And somebody did it. And this is why, it's one of the reasons why the Rangers bought and not sold the deadline. The thing is, the Tigers sold at the deadline. You know, they traded Flaherty to the Dodgers. They traded Chafin here. And they still did that, and they got better. I saw this stat yesterday, their 26-man wild card roster is $18.8 million. In salary, and Josh Hader made $19 million.
You mean Mariano Rivera.
I mean Mariano Rivera, according to Tim Kirchen. Now, one or two people on Twitter said he may have been talking about Presley and Hader together.
Just like cooking cooks.
Right. I didn't hear it that way. I took it as Tim Kirchen, who said the Tigers scored all these runs in that inning off one of the great postseason relievers of all time. And I'm like, wait a second, can we tap the brakes here? Even if you are talking about Ryan Presley, who I know has had a really, really, really tremendous run over the last 3 years. Like, can we stop?
All time.
All time?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Meanwhile, you are pouring one out for the New England Patriots. Bobby, see if you can get down with this comparison.
Yeah, the Astros failed to make the ALCS for the first time in 8 years. Okay. So they had made 7 straight. Like 2016 was the last one. That was like Cleveland, Toronto. That was the last time that the Astros didn't make the ALCS. Now, it's very Patriot-esque. The Patriots did it 8 years in a row with the AFC Championship game. And considering they both cheated at some point, there's a lot of similarities thrown in there. But, you know, making the AFC Championship game like the Pats did, and the randomness of baseball, because, you know, the football is that's a miserable existence, a one and done. You've got one bad quarter. You have one turnover.
Yep.
You're cooked. You could fall behind 0-2 in a baseball playoff series and still come back and win. But the Astros, I mean, there's been times where they've been less talented. They've had their backs against the wall, and they still made 7 straight ALCSs. The Dodgers don't do that. The Yankees don't do that. Every year, they're always there, and that's... To me, that's on the level of what New England did in the NFL. It's tremendous. And thank God they're gone.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a terrible comparison. The one I think of, the one that I'd more consistently thought of with the Astros was just LeBron.
LeBron.
Like the LeBron run that he had of conference championships and, or, you know, conference title games and going to that. But, no, I mean, they've been They've been fantastic cheaters, and they've shown, like, you know, where cutting corners and skirting the rules can get you, and it can get you to seven straight ALCS appearances, and thank God it's over now because I'm so sick to death of that organization as a whole.
You know who might be the most miserable man in the sport today?
Michael Kay.
Somebody he works with, Brian Cashman. The Astros and the Orioles are out. I don't know how he survives if they don't make the World Series now. Like, if the Orioles were in it and the Astros are still in it and you make the ALCS and you lose, I think you can have a chance. When you got to go through Kansas City, Detroit, or Cleveland, where I don't know if those three teams combined have the payroll that you do, I don't know how you survive that.
Meanwhile, should they react or will they overreact to a team that the Rangers took out last year?
The pitch. He struck him out. And the Kansas City Royals move on to the division series. This improbable season.
Sean McDonough almost slipping up right there with the call on ESPN. The Royals sweep Baltimore. Kansas City's first playoff series win since their 2015 world title. And the Orioles eliminated for the second straight year without a win. They go winless for the second straight postseason.
They have now lost 11 straight playoff games overall. They got swept by the Royals in 14.
Wow.
They lost a single game to Toronto in 16, swept by the Rangers. They score one run combined in these two games. Awful. Awful. And that's a great offense. They're supposed to be.
They scored 8 in one of the games against the Rangers last year, but in the other two games, they scored 2 runs and 1 run. Like, these last 2 years have completely disappeared.
How many games was our series?
It was a 3-game series. It was the division series.
All right, so your Orioles management, you lean more towards the format or problems with your team? Like, we lost 4 games. We lost 4 games over 2 years. Right?
Five, right? Because it was a 3-game series. It was a 3-game. They lost 3 to the Rangers. They lost 3. They lost 3-0.
Okay. So it was not best of 3.
It was a best of 5.
Best of five. All right, never mind.
Sorry, I may have explained that wrong. Well, look, last year I think you get more of a pass than this year because last year you had all these days off, right? And because they were the 1 seed. So they didn't play in the wild card round. And we have seen throughout this short time we've had the wild card that the team that plays this week in the wild card, the best of 3, they win the division series at an inordinate rate. The Astros have usually been numb to that. They've always kind of won. But for the most part, look, Atlanta lost last year. The Dodgers lost last year. It's happened for basically every year where you've had the 1 seed or the 2 seed, you know, lose that division series. The problem with the Orioles is that they won like 6 series after the All-Star break. They only won 6 series after the All-Star break.
Wow.
That's not good. So they have not been playing great baseball for the last 2.5 months anyway. That's a reflection on a lot of things. I mean, the manager's going to take a lot of heat for that.
Who is a bigger postseason disappointment, Baltimore or these guys?
Darno, it's popped up. It's playable. Careful. Both go out. It's caught by Higashioka. The game's over. And the Padres win it. They will meet the Dodgers in the division series.
Carl Ravitch did not mess up his call on ESPN. AJ Preller and the Padres take out Atlanta. Now look, I know that the Braves have had injuries, Acuna and everything, but
Strider. So they're out of their number. They're out without their. Look, you could make the argument Sale's their top pitcher. They were without him too in the series. So no Sale, no Strider, no Acuna.
So how much of a pass do you give Atlanta because they were supposed to be set up to be kind of the next?
Yeah. Yeah, I think when normally they may not get a pass, but when, you know, if you're just out Acuna, because they won the World Series without Acuna. He had gotten hurt that year.
Yep.
But now you're without Acuna and your number one and your number two, and you're also playing arguably the best team in the sport. Look, if you were to ask me who's the favorite to win the championship, it's San Diego.
Whoa.
They're tremendous. They're red hot. They are one of them and the Dodgers have the most wins since the All-Star break. Their pitching staff, they're going deep, man. Like Michael King struck out 12. They got, you know, Cease. There's some injuries with Musgrove. I mean, they're tremendous. And the crowd is It's not Philadelphia.
San Diego?
Yeah, it's really good. It's not Philadelphia good. But, I mean, I think it's right now, like if you were saying, I think it's a better crowd than the Dodger crowd.
Yeah, I mean, it was like they had, you mentioned, like second half of the season, they were right up there as one of the best teams. If you go back even a little bit before the All-Star break, they finished the season 56-29. Like, I mean, they were winning two out of every three games for like a good chunk of the season here. And so after last year was so disappointing for the Padres, and within the context of Braves did the win the World Series a couple years ago, they've had some playoff struggles recently, that feels a little bit more passable to me than the Orioles. Just they can't win a game in the playoffs after all the hype the last 2 years.
We finally got a series tied up as Milwaukee did that with the New York Mets. And Pepe, you were texting us yesterday about the success or entertainment value of these early series.
Well, before, you know, 2022, they had the single game wild card game. It was the 4 and 5 seed that would play each other for a spot in the, you know, the main bracket. And so Rob Manfred came out and said, you know what, we're going to have a best of three series here, which seemed genius, you know, get an extra playoff team in there. These series have been atrocious. As of last night, after the end of the Braves and Padres game, you now have 10 of the 12 series so far since 2022 in these wild card series that have been sweeps. 10 of 12 have been sweeps. You win game one, you're basically winning the series. And the thing is, road teams are now 7-4. 7-4
wow.
In this entire thing. Yes. So if the Mets win tonight, it'll go to 8-4. So it's like the road teams are dominating. In these wild card series, they're not bringing enough juice here.
Yeah, and then, you know, the wild card winner, like we talked about, has a distinct advantage.
That's a great point. I don't think Alec could ever dream of making.
Never.
No.
So the four teams that had buys, so you had Philadelphia, the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Guardians. History shows at least two of them are going to lose. And all those teams are going to play two games in 9 days. So they're going to wind up having this whole week off. They played Sunday. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's five. They're going to play Saturday and Sunday. You may have a day off in there because baseball has those days, stupid days off between these games. And then you will go back on Wednesday. So you'll have two games in 8 or 9 days. You can't get back into a groove.
By the way, last night in the Brewers game, Jackson Chourio, he is the second player in MLB history with two game-tying home runs in the same postseason game. The other was Babe Ruth in the 28 World Series.
Meanwhile, Luka with a left calf contusion and will be reevaluated in 1 week, and the Mavericks add Frank Vogel to their coaching staff. Jason Kidd said it took a lot of begging, but he was talked into it, and I'm happy he said yes. Luka concern?
I think Vogel's a good coach. It's a good guy to have on your bench.
Yeah,
there's no Luka concern. Like I just want him to get in shape. As long as he's in shape and ready to go, this doesn't matter. This is such a non-story. It's now again, if it grows into something like with the Achilles, you know, knock on Corey, and it doesn't. But if it does, then we've got a problem. But I mean, we're just talking about a calf strain 2 days after media day.
Yeah, isn't the contusion even, that's like a bruise, right?
Yeah.
He just bruised his calf. He probably wanted some time off.
Peyton wants to start drinking tequila in the morning. He needs your suggestions for his first state fair in 7 years and the helicopter hovering to pick up all your poop. It's the payload full of poop, probably, with the Thursday edition with Philip Russell next.
Okay, am I hearing this right? The morning show is letting Peyton Russell have his own segment?
I just don't get it. We've known Peyton for years. He's horrible on the mic. I mean, gathering the foreigners, this is going to be a train wreck.
Daddy does work, and Peyton just does board hopping.
That is right. It's the payload every Thursday at this time, and for some people, Thursday is drink o'clock. I know RJ usually hits a happy hour on Thursdays, maybe. A little Mexican restaurant, queso, margaritas. For me, it was in college. You know, I was anti-Friday classes, so I was, drinking with the homies on Thursday night, going to the bars, getting a little happy hour going, but I have the cure for all of your stomach issues, RJ, here. Tequila in the morning. Before I play this audio clip, are you down with it? If you are promised that a shot of tequila for 7 days straight in the morning, before you brush your teeth, before anything, it cured all your stomach problems, would you do it?
Don't threaten me with a good time.
So that's like vinegar. Your little apple cider vinegar shot that you're supposed to take in the morning.
Tastes like vinegar.
I feel like that vinegar tequila.
Yep.
I forgot that one.
I'd much rather sip on that than vodka like you do.
Yeah.
Sip is a nice way to say it.
Yeah, it is a nice way to say it. To cure your stomach issues, If your stomach issues are like a 5 out of 10 even, maybe 4 or even 6 out of 10, absolutely it's worth doing it.
So my sewage bill was $40 last month, and I have a feeling that that it might be because of my stomach issues. Something's messed up. I need something. It's been like this for many years
well,
now.
Well, you and your Alfredo. Girl, you eat like toddlers. You eat
well,
like...
I had steak last night, New York strip.
Whoa. How'd you cook it?
Hers I messed up.
In what pan or what grill?
Oh, it was just skillet. Just skillet, yeah. Okay. Just one skillet. Yeah, I didn't want to fire up the grill outside, you know, yeah. for...
It is a like pain that, in the butt.
You have to get a cast iron.
Yeah.
You have to get a cast iron pan. It'll change your whole life.
I mean, I
take my cooking tips, unlike Will Chuck.
I minced up garlic, threw it in there, had butter with a little base going.
Ooh,
so it was very
that thing up there, baby. Yeah.
It was very flavorful. I might have burnt the hell out of the pan though, man. Sometimes it just gets crispy there. Because I try to get it, you know, seared up a little bit with the skillet, but it's like, you know, and I let it rest, but I'm still learning, Sean.
Cast iron, really brother. You didn't send out any picture of it, did you?
No,
you weren't proud enough.
I was not proud enough. Mine was fine. Photo. Mine was a good medium, but hers was. It might have been well done, you know. Oh, so but that's why I gave her it. I cut it open. I said, you know what? You take the well done.
That's what you got to do. You can't let them know you screwed something up. Right. I always give a man like the better pieces or the better parts of it.
But New York strip came out fine. But yes,
how would she want her steak?
Medium rare. She's a medium rare person.
That a girl.
Yeah.
That a girl.
Yep. So she's learning. She's
one redeeming quality.
She might get dino nuggets, but she wants medium rare steak. Guys, we're talking tequila in the morning here. Now, this is the internet. You know, you can either believe it or not believe it. This is just a random man on the streets that is saying this, but it gets me thinking, like, is this worth the experiment of drinking a shot of tequila every morning to cure your stomach issues? Here's what he had to say about it.
If you want to clean your body, mezcal, when you wake up in the morning, before you brush your teeth, before you do anything, you take a nice shot. That will do what kills all the germs inside your stomach.
A shot of what?
Mezcal in the morning, before you wake up, before you brush your teeth, before you drink any water, you take a nice shot of mezcal that will kill all the germs in your stomach. If you do that for 1 week, no more than 1 week, all your stomach problem will be gone.
And mezcal is just tequila, right? Is that?
Oh, no.
What different?
So would you, it is tequila, so would you rather take a shot of mezcal first thing in the morning every day or just straight Blanco?
Straight Blanco. Oh, Repo probably, if I was going to do one, but yeah, Blanco. I don't like
smoky tequila.
Yeah, I don't like the peaty, smoky taste to it. But I mean, I'm not going to discriminate.
Yeah.
You know, whatever gets the job done, whatever I have on hand. You know, if I don't have anything on hand that I like, that I like to shoot, I'll just take whatever I have.
So what's the price for a bottle here? I've never had mezcal before. Is it cheap? Is it cheaper?
It's like any alcohol where there's cheap ones and there's expensive ones.
You can get it real cheap.
Okay.
You
get a $25 bottle.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, that shouldn't be too terrible.
It might be worth the experiment. I've really thought about trying it.
Try it.
For 7 days straight, just drink. Now, man, tequila at 3:45 in the morning, that's going to...
3:45.
That might mess me up a little bit. I mean, you know, he's saying before you brush your teeth, before anything, you just have the bottle right there, take a shot of it. You know, and after a week, if it doesn't work, then, you know, you tried it and you can blame the internet.
Try it for a week.
Is mezcal the one they put the worm in? Or they used to?
I don't know.
We're going to be 2 days into this experiment and then you're going to shut it down when, like, the cut sheet has, like, typos all over it because he's buzzed.
I'm having Chris on standby up here just in case I don't make it in the morning.
I don't know if you're a light liquor drinker? Like, how many beers? How many, you know he is?
I know he is. I've seen it.
Like, one shot shouldn't do...
We're joking. I'm just, you know, saying after a week of this, you know, whatever it is, tequila that my body's not used to, and that early in the morning. I've never had alcohol or, you know, liquor that early in the morning. But
I can tell you never went to an SEC school.
Yeah, UNT, baby.
We
now the American.
We would wake up at 7 a.m. for a NASCAR race. We didn't even watch just to start drinking.
All right, it's a payload every Thursday at this time. Now, we'll be drinking some at the state fair. I have decided Monday is my day going.
Is that why you're taking off?
Yes, but I do have my reasoning for it. So I'm working the Cowboy game Sunday night. I'll be here until 1 a.m., not sleep until 2, you know, early show. So it's like I'd be going off at 2.5 hours of sleep. I'd have to go to Rockwall because my girlfriend Mackenzie has the day off as well. So I'd be going to Rockwall to grab her back to Dallas. I mean, I think I would just...
What's your schedule looking like?
I'm going to be flying in from Pittsburgh, probably landing about 2:30, and then coming in here to actually talk, not just sit behind the glass and hit a drop. And I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here. So,
all right. Well, sometimes you're not here, Bobby. So,
true. Look, don't say nothing.
Monday, I'll be going to the state fair. First time in 7 years. have not been. So I used to go, you know, a few times with some friends. You know, haven't been 7 years, but I'm interested to see what's the strategy like going. You guys have gone in years past. Sean, you've gone multiple times within the last few years. I am going on a weekday, though. I've never been on a weekday. Do I just expect a free pass to the Ferris wheel? No line? Or the game, just walk up? Because
during
that's
the day,
a thing.
I bet on a Monday during the day. When is fair day? Bobby, when do your kids have off?
I don't remember when the fair day. We're going to do it at some point here in like a week and a half, I think. Like
here's
right
what
after
I
get off the air.
But what I want to know from the Tolos is, what are the top three worst days to go to the fair? I'm not talking about like Friday, Saturday. I'm talking about for the group days that they have out there.
Texas OU. Gotta be the worst.
Oh, yeah.
Day. Gotta be the worst day. And 11 a.m. or I guess this year it's 2:30, but still all day. It's gonna be bad.
Okay, so then I want to know what 2 and 3 is of the days you don't want to go out there. But I'm with Matt Pittman, who you heard the replay of before the show started. As soon as you walk in, Fletcher's corn dog. You like corn dogs? You fine with that?
Yes. Mustard on top.
Go get your mustard, your Fletcher's corn dog, and then the world is your oyster. After that, I'm just trying to find like one other thing. I think that, you know, the fair food, you know, overrated to me. I think the best thing that you can probably get, honestly, if you've never had it, go on over to Palmer's, man. Go get his chicken sandwich.
Yep.
Like, it's not your you know, stereotypical fair food. Go over to Palmer's, sponsor the Firehouse Tour, and get that chicken sandwich. Yep. It's stupid good.
It is stupid good.
His little poppers, though, that he entered this year, those are good, too.
And then your desserts, right? You feel like you have to get a funnel cake. Do you feel like, how traditional do you feel like you have to get? Are you guys big dessert people?
We are. Now, my thing about the fair is I need something unique. I can't just go there and get, you know, something that I can get, you know, any other day of the week.
Okay, well, then Palmer's is out.
Well, I'll still try Palmer's, you know, great sponsor of the station, the Firehouse Tour. I'm a big turkey leg guy. The last time I went, I got the big turkey leg.
Save up. That's half a paycheck.
You got to get the right one, though. You got to get Smokey John's. Listeners of the morning show, by the way. Smokey John's.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
If you get on that Ferris wheel, tell me how wobbly it is this year.
Someone said, I want to try the pickle lemonade. That was Stephen Lee on YouTube. You know, your fried Oreos. You got to get a fried dessert.
Got to get
one of your weird fried desserts.
The fried Oreos are really good, especially like when they give you the ice cream with it. Oh, my gosh. The fried Oreos right at the top.
So you guys planning on rides?
Yes.
Or
yeah.
Just like
The Ferris wheel is just a big thing for me. Anything else is, you know, just extra if I have to. I want to play a game too because I'm tired of losing these carnival games, man. You know, I really think there's a strategy to it. It's like there's no way I can't throw a baseball and knock over 3 pins.
All right.
Like,
in addition to texting, the worst days to go event wise for groups, what are the top 2 or 3 easiest games to play to try to, you know, cheat the system, cheat the cheaters? Get over on the carnies. Where do you go to go ahead and get those tickets or win that prize?
I mean, I feel the gun water game is always an easy one.
Yeah.
I think that's the...
Because someone's always winning that
horse,
game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, someone's always winning.
Someone's always winning. It's the horse race.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, the bottle, you toss the baseball into the bucket that's kind of tilted. I feel like there's an easy way to...
You got to spin it away. I've seen it.
You got to spin it.
Yeah, it's something. But those games, man, it's crazy how rigged they are.
Ring toss for me, because I do that every Saturday and Sunday morning. I play ring toss.
I don't think I've ever done games or... I don't think I've done the games or the rides there. Like, not since I was a kid. Not since I was a kid, honestly.
Stephen Lee says, I want to try the pickle lemonade, then F you, Sean. So F you back after reading your message, Stephen. Fried Snickers is good, too, from the cat attack. Sounds like the heart attack. So those are the suggestions right now on Twitch.
So you don't know when you're going out?
No, I mean, probably sometime next week, maybe next Thursday or Friday.
We're talking, we might do this weekend just because we don't have another chance, I don't think. I have the kids twice. They don't want to go. They have no desire to go. And then the following weekend it's the holy day of obligation, college football. It is Georgia and Texas. It is Tennessee, Alabama. And we're going to want to go at night. I'm not going to miss those games. So I think it's going to have to be this weekend.
Now, Sean, this might be a dumb question, but when you go, is it just you, Amanda, Ollie? Does Ava go too? Or is she too young?
Oh, no, I'm taking her.
Oh, really? Okay.
She's awesome in public. Total opposite of what he was. Took her to lunch yesterday, Chipotle. Yeah, she'll be fantastic.
How old was Ollie? You took Ollie when he was young, didn't you? Like, wasn't he like a year or two old when you went?
Yeah.
So he's taking, that works.
He'll like it. But yeah, I want to take the kids out there. I would like to go at night. I would like to go at night with the lights. It's probably not going to happen. Because of Ken Paxton.
Last story here, guys. It is the payload. It is the payload every Thursday at this time. And, man, we go up to Minnesota. Look, you give the Vikings a few wins early on the season. The economy just boosts up there. The IQ is insane now that the Vikings are 4-0. This Minnesota man, an inventor, it's not a helicopter. It's a poop scooper. A poop copter is what they call it, man. It's a drone that you're flying over picking up dog crap.
Helipooper.
It's a really crappy story here all around, but I mean, I think it's a fascinating invention. No more going around the yard. You know, what I do is I just run over with a lawnmower. That's how I get rid of the poop. That's how I get rid of it. I don't want to go out there and scoop it up. I never liked that idea when I had to do it at my parents' house. But, man, this poop copter, I'm all for it.
Okay. I ran over poop on accident the other day, and it just lowered into the ground. It didn't disperse and shoot everywhere.
Yeah, it doesn't, turn it into mulch. I've never...
Yeah, it just kind of,
yours doesn't chop it up. Mine goes right over and just cuts into four pieces.
You may have... I've already started to raise my mower, my lawn, for the winter months preparing, so maybe you're still low. Maybe I need to go lower.
So do you have to operate this helipooper, or does it sense where the poop is to go and get it, or you have to control like a drone?
Yeah, so it's a drone, so you're controlling where it is. You know, you can go and fly over the poop. It scoops it up with, you know.
That feels like a carnival game. The claws that go down. Sounds like a lot of work. Like, I'm going to have to walk out close to it and then direct it over it.
Right. You're already out there.
Yeah. It's a lazy person's job, for sure. But then whose house are you taking the poop over? Because, man, the pranks are off the charts here. For you bag it up, throw it over to your neighbor that, you know, if he keeps cutting my lawn.
Wait a second. When you're out walking your dog and your dog does his business out in Rockwall, do you pick it up, honestly?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. But you don't want to do it in your own backyard?
No, because the backyard's it's just my backyard.
Yeah.
You know, and in public, it's like you got to clean up here. That's karma waiting to happen.
Doo-doo dollar bill, man. One of our first high school pranks. You go and get some dog poop. You fold it into a dollar. You set it down in front of a grocery store and just have your cell phone out recording.
Oh, my God.
And how many people are going to pick it up, put it right in their pocket, pick it up, smell it, look at it funny, weird. That's what I would do.
Gross.
It's the payload with Bobby Gag. Did that make you gag? Or is it just
it's gross. No, I'm thinking of it when it happened once.
Yeah, but it's like, and if it's like mushy Bob, it's like, what is it?
And warm.
What did the dog have for dinner? he's walking out of the studio. Let's make Bobby happier with the NFL hot seat rankings around the NFL. Then a State Fair ticket giveaway to go join Pepe next on Sean and RJ.